living, in our earthly living, in that, at least for me and for about everybody I know, without love in our lives, we basically feel pretty empty, or alone, or bored, or unmotivated, or flat, or something that leaves us feeling like something big, something central, something powerful, something imperative is missing. So tonight, I really feel like talking with you about self-love, not just love, but love as it lives in and is a vibrant part of you. That remarkable phenomenon that we call love, as is experienced in, I guess what I'd like to call the laboratory of the self. That is, within your special relationship with you. So as I was sitting down thinking about this, I came up with the question, gee, what is love? I mean, before we get to self-love, what is love? And what came to me is that, one, it's that special feeling that's been described in, a gazillion songs over the millennia. It seems like probably at least 2 out of 3 songs, if not 9 out of 10, is really about love. But from another angle, I think it's been described as like what I call a bonding agent between two people or between groups of people, that special glue, that special something, that force that like a magnet calls us together, holds us together. And then other people would describe love as like a magical healing power or force, which is able to like trigger special remedial effects like healing of wounds or trigger an effect like forgiveness. So, in other words, if we've got love, then that love can create all sorts of things that are very magical, very healing, very empowering, very dynamic connectors for us in our lives. I think it's also been described as probably the richest, most compelling experience that's available on this planet. And I really agree with that. I feel like love is just what makes living rich here. Whether it's vibrant, dynamic, intimate, romantic love, or whether it's just that soft, sweet love that you feel when you're sort of walking in the woods or you see a precious little cat or dog just playing in the grass. And so love is everything that we've just described, and it's a million other things also. But in addition to those, I tend to see love this way. I think first and foremost, love is the way we're able to experience the divine. It's an experience of God as a feelable source. In other words, not just the divine as a nice cognitive, theorizable concept, but a connection with that divine, a way of feeling and experiencing and intuiting and having a deep, deep internal, like vibratory experience with the divine. That's what love is. So also, I think it's like a divine gift. Love is a gift that we have. It's the divine within us, but because it vibrates in us and gives us a feeling, it's a way we can feel life. Without love, there's like no life. Love is the juice of life, if you will. And in and with and by and through love, we can enter into life. We can become life. We can connect to life. We can have life in ways that are anywhere from passionate to fulfilling to meaningful. And then also, I feel like love is a real special blessing. To me, if I look at the whole question of, gee, what are the main blessings of life? To me, one of the biggest, hugest blessings is love. Because of love, we can bond with another person, or we can bond with ourselves, or we can bond with a pet, or a project, or with God, or with nature. And we can experience all the benefits that come from that bonding. Benefits, again, like feeling alive, or feeling enriched, or feeling valuable or worthwhile, or feeling just plain good. So love is who we are, you and me. And just in this moment right now, you're listening and I'm talking at one level, but if we really tune into it, there's this huge connection of love, this feelable, palpable, bond of love that we have that's taking whatever the words are and actually bringing them to life. Love is like that heat in the oven, that magical force that just brings anything to life, even the concepts that we're talking about. So it's who we are. It's in our veins. It's a force that exudes from us with every breath we breathe. It's active and alive in every thought we have, in every feeling that we experience. It touches us, and it touches others every second of our lives. So, in short, love is a really powerful, powerful part of us. Without it, we'd feel pretty dead. With it, we can experience life with a sense of wonder, with a sense of awe, with a sense of magnificence. So let's look at self-love. First of all, why love ourselves? I mean, really, why not just say, well, let's just love God, let's just love life, let's just love others? And of course, many of us have done exactly that. We put others before ourselves, and we tend to be much more patient with others than with ourselves, much more caring of others, responsive to their needs than to our own. So why love ourselves? Well, simply put, I think if I get a little theoretical, because all of life lives in us. Every aspect of the universe moves through us. Every other human being is a part of us. So if we're not loving ourselves, we're really not loving those around us, not loving God, not loving life. So in that sense, loving yourself is the same thing as loving life or others or the divine. So go with me here, if you will, and imagine yourself right now just loving yourself as absolutely totally as you can imagine yourself doing it. So, for example, when you get up in the morning, imagine yourself saying to yourself, I love you. Welcome to this day. Or when you're driving to work, how about imagining asking yourself, hey, how are you doing today? Just like as if a person was sitting in the other seat, like who does exactly that every year when her birthday comes around. No matter how many other people wish her a happy birthday and invite her here or there, she sets that day of her birthday out and literally goes out to dinner and some entertainment just by herself. And it's a wonderful, magnificent experience. Or another example, when you eat, imagine yourself giving yourself just the foods that really honor who you are and who you deserve to be. Or when you put out the lights at night before you go to bed, think about thanking yourself for giving yourself a special day, or if it's been an interesting day, maybe thanking yourself for giving yourself great entertainment, or a day filled with particular opportunities. So what if you had that relationship with yourself, or your body, or your emotions, or your sexuality, or your life force or energy, or any part of you that you experience as problematic, like extra weight, or some persisting habit, or a fear, or an anger, or an ulcer, or a personality weakness? What if you had that kind of relationship? The kind where when you wake up, you say, hey, good morning, hello, how are you? And at night when you go to bed, you thank yourself for a wonderful day. What if you had that relationship with everything that you've perhaps defined as a problem? My sense is that if that were our daily diet, then love would become so magical for us, so powerful, so dynamic in our every expression, in our every movement, that life would begin to actually look different, to be more user-friendly. I think life would change colors a little bit, change fabric, and it actually would feel more like a friend. In other words, just because I'm loving myself, by golly, I'll start loving life too. So I think I'd like to finally get to the topic. How can we become self-loving? Of course, we can all, without exception, become more loving than we are. I've come up with, would you believe, you're going to be so impressed with this, 10 thoughts. Suggestions, but really thoughts, just considerations about how to be more loving with ourselves, how to enter into a space where we can just love ourselves in whatever way feels better to us, so that through loving ourselves, we can love those around us more and have more life force, more aliveness. And I looked at it this way. You know, I figured if Moses can come down the mountain with 10 commandments, I can at least come up with 10 suggestions for how to love ourselves more. So, you ready for them? Here we go. Number one, picture yourself, or picture to yourself, or recall the one person in your life who really loved you, or loved you the most, or that one thing, or that pet, for example, or that one something in life that really just perceived you, saw you for who you were, and just loved you perhaps unconditionally. And then ask yourself, can I love myself that much? Can I appreciate myself that much? Can I treat myself with that same quality of respect? Can I pay attention to my needs that much, like that person did, or like that particular pet of mine did? Can I give myself permission to really, really love myself like that person did? Number two, ask yourself, do I deserve that much love? Can I let up, or give myself permission to let up on whatever self-criticism that I may be giving myself, long enough to really see or feel my worth? Of course, we know in theory we're worthwhile, we're worth being loved, and we're worth loving ourselves. But just because we've had habits of self-judgment or whatever, this is a great opportunity. If you picked up a coworker to go to work with, and you say, "Hey, how you doing?" Imagine driving to work, saying to yourself, "How you doing today?" And then really listen for the response, and have the same kind of conversation with yourself that you would have with a friend going to work. Or when you accomplish a task, imagine yourself just congratulating yourself, saying, "Hey, really good job." Or when you have a birthday, take yourself out to dinner and a show. Donna and I have a really good friend who, to ask myself, do I really deserve that much love? And invite myself to show up to the really true answer. And if not, would I like to feel deserving of unconditional love from myself? And if so, if I do feel like I deserve it, how can I take some steps to discover even more that worth, so that it becomes a motivation for me to really show up to myself with a magnificent embrace of the beautiful self that I am? Number three, find in yourself something that you do love. For example, a particular skill you have, or maybe the way you love other people, or maybe you're a good listener, or you're kind, or you cook well, or your mind is sharp, or just your love of God, or maybe even physically, your looks, whatever it is that you like about yourself. Ask yourself if, starting there, right there where self-love has a ground, has a foundation in you, ask yourself if there you can use that unconditional love as a starting point or as a model for yourself to move over to loving other aspects of yourself. Number four, you ready? Ask yourself, where's your passion? Passion, of course, is a great word for life force, intensity, a feeling of aliveness and excitement. And I don't necessarily mean sexual passion here, and I certainly will include that, but I mean personal passion. And that could be emotional passion, or spiritual passion, or heart passion. In other words, as you reach deep within yourself, what is it that you feel aliveness about, feel love about? What are you passionate about? A good friend of mine, actually two friends, Chris and Janet Atwood, have come out with a new book called The Passion Test. And in fact, just this last week, it's been in the top five on Amazon.com's selling list. And so a lot of people are buying it. And in the list, in the book, they talk about the role of passion. And they have a test in there where they, and you can take it just by reading the book if you want. And it's called The Passion Test. And it helps you define what you are really passionate about. What are the things that drive you and motivate you and move you in life? So whatever that is, if you come up with an answer to the question, where are your passions? What is it you're passionate about? Ask yourself, can I be equally passionate about myself? Can I move myself right up to the top five of those lists of what I feel really passionate about, excited about, dedicated to, motivated by? Not, again, in some self-centered, self-absorbed way, but just in a way that values you so that through you, again, you can connect to all life. Number five, you'll love this one, love your body. You know, our bodies are really the most primal, organic, earthy facets of us. And we're often in conflict with our bodies because we're in conflict with life's more messy, murky, muddy aspects. And, you know, like as without, so within. So what a great way to resolve our feelings about, or perhaps allergies to, life's grosser dynamics by loving our own bodies. And so if we could pull ourselves into a loving embrace, an adoring posture with our body, that would translate out into whatever sort of emotional allergies we may have had to some aspects of life out there. So in that sense, you could, as the saying goes, treat your body like a temple. You could listen to its symptoms with real feelings of respect. You could let your body know that you love it. You could give it the food or the exercise that it wants. You could literally stop complaining about it. Or you could thank it. Thank it for all the work it does. Think of what your body does for you through the day. It's, among other things, just a huge workforce and workhorse, actually, also. So just to thank our body from time to time could bring us into a beautiful, intimate connection with that body. Number six, a little more abstract in a sense, ask yourself, who am I? I mean, who am I really? And then really listen for the response. And what I'm meaning and where I'm coming from with that is, we often don't love ourselves because we're not really being who we are. We're maybe being some persona, or we're playing smaller, or being less than who we really are. And maybe that's what we don't like about ourselves. Maybe that's why it's hard to love ourselves, is that we're just not being all that we really are, and so we feel a little disgusted with ourselves for that, or disappointed. So maybe it's that pretend self that we don't like, that little self we're disgruntled with. So if we discover that we're perhaps playing small, then we can invite ourselves into, sure enough, our bigger, more real self, our identity. And I think we'd find it easier to love ourselves when we're just being who we really, really are. Ready for number seven? Ask yourself, how does God see me? Or how does God feel about me? Or if the image of God doesn't work for you here, ask yourself how the person who most loved you in your life, like, for example, a grandmother or an aunt or whoever that you had as a child, felt about you. And then whatever that answer is, ask yourself, can I love myself unconditionally, like God does, or like that special person did? Or can I love myself that generously? Or can I love myself that tenderly, or that deeply, or just genuinely? In other words, wow, if God loves me like this, or whoever that person is, maybe I really, really deserve that same treatment from me, and maybe I really want to give that kind of love to myself. Number eight, ask yourself, as I look within myself, what is the quality and the quantity of love that lives in me? For example, the quality, am I capable of forgiveness, or compassion, or tenderness, or intimacy, especially in relation to myself? And those are qualities of love. In other words, the question is, how alive are those qualities in there? What are my capabilities, my innate abilities in regard to forgiving, feeling compassion, feeling intimate with myself and with others? And then in terms of quantity, if we take those same qualities, how alive are they in me? How much do those capabilities live 100%, 80%, 50%, or 5%, or whatever it may be? And then, if I answer that question really honestly, that can give me a basis for just where to put my attention. For example, if I notice that I'm coming up a little low on the forgiveness scale, I could look at that and say, gee, you know, forgiveness is just an intimate slice of the pie of love. Maybe I can just show up to forgiving and mainly start with forgiving myself and maybe take that on as a bit of a loving project for myself. Number 9, ask love to just plain old take you over. Sounds easy, huh? Ask love to like enter into you, enter into your mind, your heart, your gut, your whole person. Invite love, and feel free to do this even right now, to unleash its magical powers right now in you. And any moment of any day, just there's an old saying, give yourself to love. And a beautiful song that I think maybe 15 years ago was a powerful song called Give Yourself to Love. And so invite love into your whole being. Invite it to like take over any facet of you. Invite it to heal anything in you that maybe needs healing. Invite it to bring you to the point where you can totally, totally join that love and ride the wave of that love as you love yourself. And number 10, look at yourself as 100% loving. In other words, you know, if it's even if we've answered one of those questions with, no, gee, I'm not as loving as I want to be, hold that image, hold that vision. I am 100% loving, and especially loving of myself. And then let yourself wrap yourself around that and believe it. Believe that it really is the truth, and in fact, you know it really is. And any perception that you're not 100% loving is just an influence, a belief that's influenced by other factors. The deepest truth about you is you are 100% loving because you were made in the context of 100% love. Every facet of you is love manifested, and so everything about you, every cell in you is 100% loving. So I am 100% loving. Believe that, repeat it to yourself, focus on it, keep it in your vision, as you say to yourself, perhaps, of the following affirmation. And this is an affirmation I actually wrote down, and I would love to read it to you. And feel free to just let the vibration of the words wash through you, and let the quality of love move through your veins as you hear the words. I love myself unconditionally. I am without blemish. I am God's miracle. I delight in caretaking the amazing creation that I am. I deeply honor myself and all creation that lives within me. I deserve unconditional love from me, my best friend. I am loved by God. Why not love myself as God loves me? I accept my body, my emotions, my powers, my joys and sorrows, my happiness and pain. I accept my everything. I am beautiful and divine, and totally deserving of my own respect and embrace. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. And in so doing, I love life. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me and participating with me and actually being so one with me in this talk about, in this sharing of unconditional love. For me, and this is one final thought I'd like to leave with you, I decided some years back that, you know, if God totally loves me and totally loves everybody I ever talk to and totally loves every animal and insect and blade of grass and plant and every facet of life, then why would I want to be other than that? Why would I want to not be 100% loving? If God can be totally forgiving in regard to anybody's anything, if God can keep saying, you know, you really messed up there, but, you know, there's always another chance, and let me find another way to support you. If God can just be totally understanding of everybody's weakness, then, gee, why shouldn't I? So I really gave that not just a lot of thought, but a lot of heartfulness. And over the years, I still come back to it today. I come back to that concept, gee, you know what? If God, or if that person's soul, or if life can be totally, totally embracing, all loving, unconditionally caring and responsive, then maybe I can do that too, because after all, what God is lives in me as well. So my final thought to share with us just before I stop is this. God loves you totally. And you certainly, if you want, can do the same for yourself. And just open to love and let yourself move into and experience and celebrate the magnificence that love is within yourself. Thank you so very, very, very much. What I'd love to do at this point is I'd like to open the microphone, so to speak, to any of us or all of us who feel like commenting, who feel like expressing, who feel like sharing either your own experience or your own inspiration or your own thought. Anything you feel like sharing here about and around what we've been talking about. The one thing, of course, that I ask and will insist on is that you not ask me any questions, because we're really here in this time just to really, if you will, be taught and to be inspired by you. So what I'd love to do is invite anybody who feels like it to unmute your phone and then express whatever you'd like. And then when you're finished, if you could mute your phone again, that would be great. I'm going to unmute mine. And so if at this point anybody would like to express anything, I would just adore it. And as you do, if you could say your first name and where you're from, and then whatever you feel like saying.
Hello.
Yes.
Anna and Bill?
Yes.
Is this Claire?
Yes. Hi, Claire from Austin.
Hello. Just as you're finishing there, I want to say just two little quotes about love. And one is, I just picked up this book. I have a little book of quotes. And one is by Oscar Wilde, "To love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong love affair." And the other one is by Rumi, and it is love that holds everything together, and it's the everything too. That's it. I just wanted to share that.
Oh, Claire, thank you so much. Those are beautiful quotes. Yay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, someone else.
Bill.
Yes.
This is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
From Encinitas, California.
Exactly. I was just thinking of the flip side of the coin of loving yourself is to not participate in unloving yourself.
Oh, wow.
And I experienced that, the biggest arena of that, or perhaps the polar opposite of love, is my self-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can, learning to be aware enough of it and want, in recognizing the, by really being with it, feeling the nature of it and what it does to me in terms of the suppression of myself, enough
mm-hmm.
to have motivation to choose not to participate it when I feel it knocking at the door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I feel like that is an act of love that actually gives room for the experience of love to show up, because it feels like sometimes the self-judgment kind of prevents the experience of love from having an arena to operate.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I love the perspective. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Yes. Anybody else?
Leroy Moriak in Corpus Christi.
Yes, Corpus Christi,
hi,
Texas.
Leroy.
Hi, Leroy.
Oh, I sure enjoyed what you had to say.
Oh, thank you.
And I see this all day long in my medical practice. If I stay in that loving space, good things happen. It doesn't matter what the package comes in like. And when I allow myself to leave the space, things really get messy. So, I have an agreement with all my staff, and when things get a little chaotic, we stop and pray and get back in that space, and then very quickly things just straighten up again.
Oh, how beautiful.
I love that statement this lady said about Rumi. It really is the glue that holds everything together, and it does everything. So, love what you had to say, and it's so good.
You got it.
Feels good to be with you again. Did you plan
already? Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much, Leroy. That's great.
What's going on?
Yeah, and somebody else.
Can I see you?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
This is Amanda in New York.
Yes. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that sharing. This is something I've been with a lot lately, and I'm having some real difficulty, actually. I've been calling in the love, but I feel like there's a block, like there's a tightness or something in my heart that somehow won't let it in. And I'm not sure how to be with that, or intellectually I resonate with the message.
At this moment, Amanda, I don't want to get into being responsive to that simply because that's not the purpose of this sharing. But what I do want to invite, if it feels right to you, and invite all of us, is maybe we could all just take a half a moment and just with Amanda and with maybe with any of us who are sharing exactly what Amanda's sharing. And that is we're calling in the love, and there's something that's either not absorbing it or not letting us be aware of the ways that the love is coming in and the ways that the love is trying to express. So maybe we could just all be with that, just with the intention that by all of us joining together right now, then that will help that. And beautiful. And I thank everybody for that. And Amanda, thank you for that indirect, just reaching out for that and sharing. Thanks so much. And anybody else want to share anything?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Valerie from Austin.
Valerie from Austin, Texas, yes.
Hi. Can I share something with you?
Yes, please.
Yes, there's some noise on the line, so I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I can, and I apologize for the noise. I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Okay. Well, it's just that regarding what the other person said, there is another quote that I like by Baron Katie, because she's one of those amazing quotes, and she says, we are what is left when we drop all the stories.
Yes.
And what is left is light and love. And actually, to drop all the stories, we need love, too. It's the love that makes us drop all the stories that the person has and everything. And since I've seen you and met you and Donna, what I didn't used to do is to put a distance, a loving distance, between my real self and all those personas I was playing.
Yes.
And it helps a lot in the process of loving yourself and even loving your human self that I didn't used to not love at all. Mm-hmm. Now I'm learning how to use my human self and those personas and all the, you know, these addictions and stuff. And that's the only way I can heal those is just to put a love on them, but at the same time remaining a little bit distant.
Yes, yes.
So that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, thank you so much, Valerie. That's beautiful. And it's a beautiful modeling for all of us, too. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yes. And would,
thank you, Bill.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Would someone else like to share anything?
Bill, can you hear me?
Yes.
Christy Sloan.
Oh, hi, Christy.
And I kind of wanted to share something with the lady that had talked just before this last one. I didn't catch her name.
Uh-huh. Amanda, probably.
Okay. I had decided to go on a year-long time with myself, for myself, without dating anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I thought really helped me connect with myself and love myself was every night when I would go to bed, I would see myself laying in bed and pretend that I would climb out of my skin as if there were two of me. And that second part of me, I would imagine laying behind me and holding myself.
Mm.
I would imagine that part of me rubbing my hair against my forehead and squeezing me tight and telling me that I was lovable and special and sweet and cuddling myself in the way that you would cuddle either like a lover or a child or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me such a sense of peace and connection and love. And it was such an, using the imaginative piece to it made it seem easy to access it by being creative with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I just wanted to share that, and if that works for her, great, and if not, you know.
It's beautiful. I think that's a beautiful sharing for all of us, Christy. That anybody that feels drawn to that, what a magnificent way to just open ourselves to the power of love. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And is there maybe one more person who'd like to share something?
Hi, Bill. This is Katya from right now I'm in Plano, Texas.
Yes, Katya. Hello.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Hi, Katya.
Hi. Well, I just got back from a mission trip to Belize in Central America.
Yes.
And it just so happened that this whole trip for me was about love.
Mm.
And the biggest question that came out of it for me was how I control love in my life, because I went with 40 individuals that I didn't know, and I don't do very well in group settings. I do better in smaller settings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was completely overwhelmed by a whole lot of things, but that's what came out of it for me, of how I have a tendency to control love in my life. And that comes out in so many different ways, you know, sometimes not sharing, sometimes judging others, sometimes, and you know, being silent, you know, in so many different ways, but also then, you know, not only in relation to the group, but also my relationship with God, my
mm-hmm.
relationship with other individuals, you know, and also my relationship in service to others.
Yes.
And it was terribly profound for me.
Mm.
But as we, you know, and I just realized for me that as I continue to do this, to continue to control that love in my life, and the way that it comes, that it only hurts me, and it only delays my destiny.
Wow.
And I continue, and I continue to just be profoundly at love, and just, you know, every day I'm enlightened in some new insight and revelation about
mm-hmm.
the whole process. So it's been really amazing.
Oh, I bet. It sounds like the whole insight and awareness is like, at least potentially, but very actively life-changing. I mean, it's like a major turning of a corner. How neat. Yeah. Thank you so much, Katya. I really appreciate that sharing, and I really appreciate everybody who's shared. We certainly had the Texas contingent here tonight, didn't we? I thank you so much. What I'm going to do now is mute my phone once again. And I believe that means that we shouldn't hear any background music except my voice for a little bit. I would love, first of all, I really want to say again, I was just touched with those sharings, and just the depth of them, the practicalness of them, the wisdom of them. Thank you very much.